Luxury living begins with your move to Mason, Preferred Living's newest community in the desirable New Albany area. Your suite features soaring ceilings, White Valley granite countertops, and spa-inspired bathrooms. With amenities like a multi-tier year-round pool and hydrotherapy spa, Trackman golf simulators, a private screening room, and complimentary Starbucks coffee, every day feels like a retreat. Learn more and schedule your tour at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be talking all things Cardiff as they have a new manager in place. We'll also be talking about West Brom, who are sat currently top of the table, analysing their summer signings. How big an impact have they made at the start of the season that's meant that Slaven Bilic's side are in prime position in their push for promotion. We'll also talk about Barnsley. They are in need of a new manager. They have been for the last 6 weeks. Could they finally be on the verge of appointing a new manager? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us here at the Championship Fan Show. So plenty to talk about. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. Obviously, plenty of Championship stories. We've had the half of the international break, and now we can start building up to the return of the Championship this coming weekend. It is back on Friday night, actually, at Craven Cottage, Fulham. Take on QPR, a London derby, to get us back underway after the international break. These next couple of months, now we don't have another international break until March. This is the crunch period, really, of the season for both the Premier League and the Championship. We've got those three international breaks out of the way. Now we can focus on this run now, between really now and Christmas, that New Year period. There's so many games in a very short period of time. This is where it's going to determine the trajectory of all these teams. There have been plenty of teams that have changed managers already, and one of those clubs are Cardiff. Obviously, the news came through that Neil Warnock had stepped aside. He had resigned as the Cardiff manager. He said he was always going to leave at the end of the season, but that was slightly brought forward, even though the club wanted him to stay until December. They've got a new manager, and it is a Neil in to replace a Neil out. Neil Harris has been appointed as the new Cardiff manager. To react to that news and talk about Cardiff in general, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dan Moffat, writer and podcaster for View from the Ninian. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dan. Before we talk about the Neil in, let's talk about the Neil out first. Neil Warnock leaving. Did it really come as a surprise when it did? And in hindsight, considering he was always going to leave at the end of the season, would it perhaps been a wiser call to have made that call in the summer?
Yeah, good afternoon, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. The Neil Warnock thing, it was a shock, but with the performances that have been displayed this season, Cardiff, we've looked like a different side. We've lacked that grit and the determination, the hunger that Warnock sides tend to have. We've had a few new signings come in, Aidan Flint and Pack, who have impressed at times, but other times haven't. I think Warnock has always said he would put the club first, and with him stepping down last week, I think that was another example of it. Whether or not it was too early or too late, I think it makes sense to do it now, you know, with, 6 weeks off the January transfer window. Neil Harris has come in. It'll give him time to look at the squad, assess the players that he's got, and go from there.
So the new manager in is Neil Harris. He resigned as the Millwall manager not that long ago, but he has now been appointed until 2022. I believe you were at his press conference, or covering his press conference this morning. Interesting comments to say he's not Neil Warnock Mark II, has urged supporters to give him a chance. What was your instant reaction when you first heard the news? They said they were going to be quite quick in finding a replacement, and Neil Harris was one of the front runners to begin with. Are you happy with this appointment, or are there question marks surrounding this decision?
Personally, I think it's a sensible appointment. I think a lot of Cardiff fans have taken the social media to voice their concern, and they're not overwhelmed by the signing of Neil Harris. I think it makes perfect sense. Look, Neil Harris is a young manager. He's got a similar play style to Warnock, but I think sounding from what he said in the press conference this morning, he wants to play on the front foot. He wants to play a bit more attacking football, but he also wants the team to play in the right areas of the pitch. He spoke a lot this morning about how, as you said, how he's not Warnock Mark II. He wants to be his own manager. And I think that came across very well. He came across determined. And he seems like he knows that he's got to convince some of the fans that he's the right man for the job. There was waves of uncertainty when he signed. I think a lot of fans wanted a manager with more attacking style of football. But Harris has a wealth of championship experience, both as a player and a manager at Millwall, where he spent the last couple of years. As I said, his determination and his drive was clear to see throughout the press conference. And hopefully that's something that he can continue on over the next few months.
At the start of the season, I think Cardiff owners made it clear they were aiming for an immediate return back into the Premier League, considering that they've now got a new manager and there is going to be that transition. Have the objectives for the season slightly changed, and do you think that they might temper their expectations a little bit, or is there still that full commitment to saying we're going to get right back into the Premier League at the first chance of doing so?
I think Neil Harris in his press conference this morning was very realistic. He's spoken to Vincent Tan and to the rest of the board, and they said that they'll continue to push for the top six. I think the top two is probably out of sight now. Look, we're 14th, 21 points, 7 points off the playoffs, but we're 8 points off the relegation zone, so we're slap bang in the middle of the table. I think top six maybe might be a push for this season. I think it's, 7 points isn't very much in a championship season, and as we come up to the festive period now, those games come thick and fast. So there's opportunities for us to pick up points and to close that gap. I think it's down to what Neil Harris does with the team now. Today's his first day training with the team and meeting the staff. He says he wants to look at the academy as well, but he was realistic throughout his speech this morning, saying that he's not going to promise that we're going to get promoted this season, but also that it is achievable. But for fans to realise that a revolution doesn't happen overnight. It's an evolution, not a revolution. So we'll have to see what happens over the coming weeks.
Looking in further depth, Dan, at some of the comments he made, one of them is that he promises to sign players in January after fully assessing the current squad. From your opinion, do you think that Cardiff are in need of a few signings, a few new additions in January? And if so, where do you think Neil Harris should be targeting if he is to delve into the transfer market during the January transfer window?
It's a really good question. Look, I think we have the depth in numbers at the squad, whether or not a number of the signings that Warnock made last summer have come to fruition yet is another thing. You've seen the likes of Will Volks and Lee Tomlin Lee Tomlin saw more of the game time this season, but Will Volks is a young Welsh player. He hasn't really seen the light of day at all. Neil Harris said he's going to have to assess the squad. He's not going to be making any quick decisions yet. He needs to spend time with the team and see what he's working with. I think Warnock made a lot of big money signings over the last couple of years. You look at Josh Murphy for 12 million, you look at Glatzel, you look at Gary Medin, Bobby Reid as well, who's at Fulham currently. There's definitely depth in the team. Whether or not signings will be made in January, we'll see in the coming weeks, again, as Neil Harris said. But I think the squad probably is strong enough to challenge for top seven, top eight. But we just haven't seen those performances. And Neil Harris cemented the fact that he wants to bring that hunger and the determination back into a Cardiff team that is leaking goals at the minute. And we really need that defensive backbone back in the team.
Harris also promised to give youth a chance. Now, being cynical, you might say that's just not clipbait, but an attempt to try and get fans inside, because that's what all fans want to hear, that you're going to give the young players from the academy a chance. Do you think in the modern era of football, where you are under pressure from the moment you step in as a manager, do you think he's going to be afforded that chance? Do you think he'll have the luxury of being able to insert a few of these young players, or do you think maybe that he might say that and think, actually, for the time being, I'm going to go with experience until either we're in a safer position or in a stronger position to then push on from there?
Well, he said this morning that he needs to put the trust and the honesty in his squad that have been playing throughout the season and last year as well. But he realises that there's just not enough youth in the starting 11, starting 15 for Cardiff at the moment. He says, you know, Neil Harris has got a background from the 21s and 23s. He realises that you need leadership and guile in a team, but you also need that youth and the energy. And he said this morning that he's learned quickly that fans want to see homegrown players on the pitch, but he also stressed that it needs to be at the right time and they need to be good enough to do so. He says he's had a look at the academy and there's a couple of players that he's got his eyes on, but he says that they need to earn their place in the team, and that doesn't come easily at Cardiff or any club, in fact, in modern football. I thought it was really interesting for him to... If I had a pound for every time he mentioned the academy this morning, I'd be rich. He seems really keen on... binding the senior squad with the youth team this season. I'm excited to see what comes of that. But yeah, I partly agree with you. I think he may have said that so many times to try and get through to some fans and to make a few friends early on. But I do believe him because of his history at a youth level. He knows he's had a history of introducing youth players into teams, especially at Millwall. You know, whether or not that happens at Cardiff, we'll wait and see. But there's definitely the talent in the Cardiff 23s and the 21s as well that could come through into the senior team.
So Neil Harris's first game in charge will come this weekend. It's the early kickoff lunchtime away at Charlton. How difficult is that going to be, a first game? Cardiff currently sat 14th. They're 8 points above the relegation zone, but conversely, just 7 points shy of the playoffs. How difficult a first challenge is that going to be for Neil Harris?
I mean, any first match for a manager at home is a real baptism of fire, but Charlton are doing okay. They're, you know, a couple of points above us in the table. You know, the only saving grace for Neil Harris is that he's got this week to work with the team. It's an international break. Big game for Wales tomorrow as well. But, you know, he's got time to work with the team. Not as much probably as he would have liked. If he was announced a bit earlier last week, he could have had more time to work on it. It's really important that he hits the ground running as Cardiff manager. He stressed on that this morning as well. It's a results-based game, football is, and he knows that results dictate how long you stay in a job. But he's also said that results and performances will dictate his team selection over the coming weeks as well. I mentioned, again, the academy. He says that the academy players need to prove their worth in the team, but he needs to go with the team generally that have been the foundation of the side this season. And he'll see what the results and performances are like over the coming weeks. But yeah, Charlton's a big one. Our home form has been generally strong this season, and I'm sure Neil Harris will want to continue that on Saturday.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dan. That was Dan Moffat, a writer and podcaster for View from the Ninian, who views Neil Harris's appointment as a sensible one, a shrewd appointment for Cardiff. And as I said, where they are currently in the table, they're 8 points above the relegation zone, sat around mid-table, but they're only 7 points off the playoffs. So it just shows you gain a little bit of momentum in an inconsistent league, and you can find yourself jettisoning up the championship table. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking about Barnsley later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things West Brom.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Obviously, the Championship Fan Show every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3, dedicated to all fans of all 24 Championship clubs. We've been talking a little bit about Cardiff. Obviously, big news over the weekend is that Neil Harris has been appointed as the new manager, and it has been met with quite a lot of negativity, actually, on social media, maybe looking for another manager, someone like Chris Hughton, who was on the market. Instead, they went for Neil Harris, who was at Millwall for just over 4 years before resigning a few weeks ago. But Cardiff said that they were going to be quite swift in replacing Neil Warnock, and that's exactly what they were. Only a matter of days between it. If you remember back to last towards the end of last week, we heard from Tom Coleman at the Wales Online saying that Mark Hughes had suddenly come massively in and was suddenly one of the favourites to take the job. Michael Flynn was also rumoured to be interested, but it is Neil Harris and Dan Moffat, who we were just speaking to, said it was a sensible appointment. The 14th in the table, 8 points above the relegation zone, but just the 7 points shy of the playoffs. They are playing Charlton on the weekend. We're going to be talking about the table toppers. They've been the most consistent of a very inconsistent bunch so far this season. They are West Brom, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jez Mulholland, West Brom's social media officer and radio commentator. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jez. Last time out, it was a 1-0 win away at Hull, who had won 3 out of 3. And even though they're mid-table, those are the tough away games that I'm guessing, if you're going to get promoted, those are the types of games you have to be winning.
Yep, of course. It was a great win at the KCOM Stadium a couple of weeks ago. I think every Albion fan who either saw highlights of the game or was at the game would say that it wasn't our best performance of the season. We certainly produced better football and in a number of games this season, but the only thing that matters in football is if you get 3 points, and we did that afternoon, and obviously it kept us top going into the international break, so there's been a very, very good feeling around the football club this week.
The Baggies, therefore, top 2 points clear after the first 16 games on 33 points. I've said the term I'd use for West Brom, they've been the most consistent of an inconsistent bunch. Is the frustration for West Brom fans actually that they're not further ahead, that the fact that they've been more consistent than anyone else, they've only lost one game in 16, that they're only 2 points clear, is that something that will be frustrating Slaven Bilic, or will he think, actually, we're proving that we can be consistent and we can do that over the longevity of a season?
I think you can look at it one of two ways. I think you could look at it and say, Slaven's come in, new manager, you know, almost a whole new team, a lot of younger faces in the dressing room, in the team, in the squads. They're doing fantastically well to be top of the table. Another way you could look at it is the fact that we've dropped points at home to Reading, Millwall, Barnsley, Charlton this season. You know, we've drawn all those four games, and there's another 8 points that we could have had if we'd have won those games. I know you can't look at a game and go, yep, we'll get 3 points there, because football doesn't work that way, especially in the Championship. You know, of all people, we know that. But I think there will be, if you looked at it that way, there would be a hint of disappointment and frustration given the fact that we've dropped points at home. But certainly away from home, we've been fantastic. And, you know, I think the fans have plenty to be positive about.
I wanted to get your views on someone that's returned to the club, Gareth Barry. I believe he was training early in the season, but he's now been given a contract until the end of the season. Obviously, has been around a long time at the top level in the Premier League in this country. How crucial do you think a role could he play this season as West Brom look to get back into the Premier League? Maybe not so much in terms of on the field, but off the field, the leadership that he brings, how big a role, and do you think that would have been a major influence as to why Slaven Bilic would want him around this season?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, Gareth Barry, you've only got to mention the name Gareth Barry, and you're already in awe of him, what he's achieved in his professional life on the pitch, record Premier League appearance holder, a number of caps for England, Premier League winner, FA Cup winner, you name it, Gareth Barry's done it. I think for Gareth as well, he has been training here, you know, in the early parts of the season without being signed to the football club. But I think when you have a player of Gareth Barry's experience and quality, I do think it's important to keep them around the building in any form. We've done that with the likes of James Morrison and Boaz Myhill, two players who know the club inside out. I think I spoke to you previously, Kieran, about the role that those two former players have had this season in terms of a coaching capacity. But for Gareth, at the end of last season, when he had his injury and he had his operation, I think he was very keen to almost end his playing career on his terms and not through an injury. How many times do we see it that so many players who've been fantastic players throughout their careers have to end because of an injury? Gareth did not want that to happen. He's worked really, really hard with the medical staff, with the physios, with the sports scientists to get himself back into a position where he's earned himself another contract. And I'm sure he'll have a big part to play, not only off the pitch this season, but also on it as well.
I wanted to get your views, Jez, on a few of the, or in general, the summer signings, because when you look at it, maybe some have worked out better than others. You look at Mateus Pereira, who any West Brom fan seemingly waxes lyrical about the qualities of him. He's on loan. Grady Dean Garner, Romain Sawyers has come in. But then maybe some others that haven't worked out. Charlie Austin, Kenneth Sahor. One of the problems maybe for West Brom is, despite the number of goals they've been scoring, maybe a lack of centre-forward goals has been the problem. Is it safe to say that it's been a bit of a mixed bag on the transfer front? Or would you say, in general, West Brom have got it right so far this season?
I definitely think we've got it right. I think results and our position in the league table certainly proves that. In terms of Ken and Charlie, I think, you know, I go to all the games, commentating every single game for the club radio station. I do think Charlie's been very, very unlucky a lot of the times. It's not like he's been missing a load of chances. He's had he's hit the crossbar, he's hit the post a couple of times. He's had some cleared off the lines. We've seen keepers make some unbelievable saves to deny Charlie. And the whole club is behind him. The whole club is, you know, he's convinced that Charlie will, you know, will get a number of goals this season, a number of important goals as well. You saw when he scored against Cardiff City a few weeks ago, just the outpour of emotion from the stands, how pleased they were for Charlie, because they'd seen that he was frustrated not scoring goals for whatever reason, whether the ball was coming back off the post or coming back off the line from a brilliant save from a goalkeeper. You know, I have no doubt that Charlie Austin will score goals for us this season. And also with Ken as well, Ken's had a bit part play to bit part role this season. He's been in and out of the team for various reasons. We've got Hal Robson-Kanu, Charlie Austin and Ken, you know, three very good strikers up front that Slaven can pick from. Ken's had a slight injury as well, so he's not really had a run in the team yet. So I think with Ken, I think there's certainly plenty more to come, and he'll probably say that as well, and it's just a case of him having a run in the team and trying to find his best form once he does that.
Obviously, at this time, when we're in the middle of November, people's attentions turn to the January transfer window. Do you think there's any business that Slaven Bilic might be looking to do, or do you think he'll be fully content with a squad that's currently sat at the summit of the Championship table?
I think every manager in January will look at his squad and think, I'd want to add here or there or wherever he may feel best. I think every single manager up and down the country, whatever level it is, will be looking to add to their squad in January. I think Slaven will be pleased with what his team has produced so far this season, but obviously if there's an opportunity to go and improve in any area or any aspect of the game, then I'm sure he'll try and grasp it.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 25 58. We're going to be talking all things Barnsley now, still without a manager. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Carlo from the Reds Report. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Carlo. So, still without a new manager in place, after Daniel Stendel obviously was sacked at the beginning of October, are Barnsley any closer? There are some rumours linking them with a move for Gerhard Struber, who's a manager currently in Austria. Are they currently any closer towards having a long-term permanent manager in place?
Yeah, so the noises that we're hearing is that a deal seems to have been struck with Gerhard Struber, which, don't confuse him with Hans Gruber, who tried to blow up the Nakatomi building and was thwarted by John McLean. So Gerhard Struber is the manager at Wolfsburger AC in Austria. Started managerial career in Austria, managed one of the feeder clubs, one of the bigger clubs there, Salzburg, later became assistant manager. And to be fair, he's not doing bad. Wolfsburg are third in their league. Actually, drew against Roma in the Europa League. And just to give you a little bit of insight in the Austrian league, one of the teams, I think it's second in their league, actually took out PSV over two legs. So whilst, you know, it's probably not one of the better leagues, there is something about Austrian football maybe, you know, rising to the top a little bit. But yeah, and it's about time, isn't it? We're over 40 days. I think more people have used the Christmas money to put a bet on, and it just seems that everybody they've interviewed has either been turned down or didn't want it, because after 40, we've had teams that, you know, since Stendel left, have sacked their manager, have appointed somebody else, and are back winning games again. And in the meantime, this sort of little spiral for Barnsley continues. So we're hoping to hear something from the club in the next couple of days, and we can presume that Gerhard Struber will be put in place as the new head coach of Barnsley. But until we hear it officially, these are just really, really, really strong rumours at the moment.
Do you think that considering it's taken Barnsley so long to make a decision, that obviously Adam Murray's been in caretaker charge, he has been one of the favourites seemingly for the job permanently. Do you think that considering it's taken them so long that it may have been worth giving him a try on a permanent basis, or do you think they were looking for a more experienced manager that's used to being in that specific role?
Well, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because Murray has worked with the first team, did a lot of tactical work with the first team last year. And he seemed to get a little bit of a reaction by changing the system and putting players in different positions. You know, we've had some, you know, we got a few draws against teams that people wrote us off against, in fairness. I suppose the Barnsley fans are divided into two camps, and one says, you know, you might as well give it him until the end of the season because, you know, it's another change. And when they keep talking about this experience, if he was to be brought in, Gerhard Struber, what is his experience of the Championship, which is the fourth most watched league in the world, apparently. And it's a cutthroat league, and there is no time for him to sort of bed in and get it right, because the position we find ourselves in, it needs to be turned around pretty quickly. So, but it's only fair to say that we felt exactly the same when Daniel Standal was appointed, and whilst that was in the summer break, we'd not heard of him, and people wrote him off before he even gave his first press conference. So I suppose we have to have faith that if they do appoint him, he will be the right man. The question is then, how long does he take to fully get used to the players that we've got? Because there's a lot of noise saying, you know, are these players good enough? Do we need a little bit of experience? And for the players to sort of gel with him, he needs to get to know the team, he needs to get to know the town. Rumours are that he's coming over on his own, so maybe the existing assistant coaches that we've got, Dale Tong and Christopher Stern, will stay, so that will hopefully make that transition a little bit easier. But it needs to go quick. You know, we're halfway. I've just drawn our secret centre in the office, so you know Christmas is round the corner. And if we find ourselves in this position sort of after Christmas, then it's going to be a hard job to get the Reds out of the bottom three.
Do you think the last result, just before the international break, the 4-2 defeat against Stoke at home, who Barnsley have now taken over the bottom position from, shows that maybe Barnsley have made a mistake in how long they've taken, that it's been so long that if they'd have managed to get in a new manager, they could have had that bounce and started to move like a few other clubs like Reading and Huddersfield? They've started to move away from it. Is that the biggest frustration, that Barnsley fans are looking at other clubs making changes, they've made their change and now they're getting that bounce? Barnsley decided that Stendhal wasn't the man, but then have taken a long while to then decide who the next man is going to be.
Yeah, and that's right. And I think there's lots of managers in England that probably would like to have a crack at the whip at Barnsley, because whilst our league position isn't great, I think there is a general consensus that we've got some really talented youngsters that just need a hand. Then it boils down to the DNA of the club, where they won't buy anybody over the age of 25. So then it's very hard to get an experienced player in. You talk about the Stoke result, you know, Coley Woodrow, when he scores worldies, doesn't he? He's won goal of the season, I think, 3 months in a row for Barnsley. But then in the other end, if you've got a goalkeeper, and Brad Collins has been really good, but he takes a free kick straight to a Stoke player, Clucas takes one touch and lobs him from inside his own area almost. When you're bottom of the league, I suppose you either get a bit of luck or you climb out, or it just everything goes against you. And we can't make those sort of mistakes. And I'm a firm believer, and Murray said it himself in the last press conference after Stoke, that if we cut the individual mistakes out, then, you know, our league position potentially could, you know, we could go up the league a little bit. And we'll never be near the top, but we could climb out of that danger area. Because too often, and I'm thinking Leeds at home, where we're giving goals away, it definitely goes against us. So it is a race against time. And I think that, or the listeners of our show, The Reds Report, seems to feel that the restrictions on anybody coming in regarding young players only might have put a lot of English experienced managers in the Championship off thinking that is actually what's needed to turn this ship around.
So just finally, Carlo, if it is Gerhard Struber who has missed training at his club today, 3 of the next 4 games are away from home for Barnsley. How tough is that going to be if it is him to be the man to come in as the new manager?
Yeah. Next couple of, you know, away matches, Blackburn away, the Wednesday after Borough away. I mean, the never easy matches are there. And I think we desperately need that new manager effect. We desperately need it. And up front, we've been relying on one man to score the goals. And at the back, we've been looking too often at people making the individual mistakes. So if a manager comes in and his first two games are Blackburn and Borough, a very, very small delegation of Barnsley fans will probably be saying after those two results, if they don't go our way, that he wasn't the right man for the job. But I suppose he needs to be given the time to show what he can do with this young squad.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Carlo. That was Carlo from the Reds Report. It's been a long while since the beginning of October they made the change from Daniel Stendel, and they might be getting some random guy called Gerhard Struber from the Austrian Bundesliga. That might excite Barnsley fans, only they can tell you that.
Love Sport.
This episode is brought to you by CarMax. Want to buy a car the easy way? Start at CarMax. Want to browse with confidence? Get pre-qualified with no impact on your credit score and shop within your budget. From luxury to family rides, CarMax has options for almost every price range, including over 25,000 cars under $25,000. Want to get started? Head to CarMax.com for details and get pre-qualified today. Want to drive? CarMax.
Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.